Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Super excited about our next guest, in part because I think he's the only Pac-12 coach I haven't had on the show. Mel Tucker, Colorado's head football coach, is joining us now. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I was looking for a photo of you because I wanted to tweet out Mel Tucker's coming on the show. All the pictures of you, you're yelling on the sideline.
Is that right? Well, give me your number. I'll text you something.
Tag me. I need a smiling Mel Tucker. No, but you have that hard-nosed mentality and reputation that you bring that with you. And I don't know if you want to be smiling on the sideline. I don't know if, like, you know, if your fake smile on the sideline doesn't fly.
No, there's a time and a place for everything, but I really enjoy what I do. I enjoy working with these young men, and I haven't had a bad day since I've been in Boulder.
There you go. When you walk through the doors, and like Mario Cristobal at Oregon, probably everybody's expecting, oh, he's bringing the SEC mentality. What do people mean by that?
I just think people want to see physical, hard-nosed football, you know, really good defense, being able to run the ball on offense, and just be dominant in the trenches. I think that's what people really want to see.
You look at Oregon on film, what jumps out?
A great football team. I think they're very, very balanced, offense and defensively. They got a senior laden team, a very strong offensive line. They run the ball on their terms. Excellent quarterback, an elite level guy, first round pick, franchise type guy. Running backs that fall forward on contact. The skilled guys that can make you miss in space. They can beat you over the top. Defense strong in the front seven. Stops the run. They have some very good pass rushers, which great defenses have, and in the back end, they can play man, they can play zone, they're ball hawking, and they have a lot of fun, they play fast. So it's a very balanced football team. Coach Williams does a great job on special teams as well, and so we'll have to be at our best, certainly.
You're one of those guys that knows what it is to play on the playoff level, and you're in a conference that's been left out for 2 years. Is it a challenge to teach guys how to get to that level? Can you tell them about it? Yeah, or is it something they have to experience to know what it is?
Well, first and foremost, you know, there's a standard at which we have to perform, and we hold ourselves to that standard each and every day, and that standard is very high. And we have to coach to that level, we have to play at that level, and we have to recruit to that level. And you see these teams that are in the playoffs year in and year out, they have as good or better players than the people that they play against week in and week out, and that's recruiting. And so, when you get to that point where you have depth on both sides of the ball, you have four or five difference makers on each side of the ball. You're going to have the chance to play in the playoffs.
Mel Tucker's our guest, Colorado's head football coach. You grow up in Cleveland. You play football there. You go to Wisconsin. I noticed your degree at Wisconsin, agricultural business. What ag business? Tell me what drew you to that.
Well, it was I wanted to get a business degree, and the program had success with the School of Ag, and just being able to with the scheduling of the classes and how it worked out with practices and training, and so I was able to take my classes in the Granger School of Business and the rest in the School of Ag, and it worked out well for me.
When I'm driving out here, like I'll be driving on I-5 and I'll look out into the fields and I see the irrigation equipment and I think about, you know, oh, look at that farm. Wouldn't it be cool to be a farmer? You probably look out there and you see a business operation and headaches.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of the classes that I took while I was in the ag business, I was with farmers, you know, I was with their kids, and they would get up in the morning and work the farm, and they would come to class, and they go back and finish up on the farm, and and you find out that it's a huge, huge business, a lot of money, a lot to do with banking, you know, futures markets, all that type of stuff, and it's very complicated. So I have a lot of respect for the farming community.
If I go back and I find Mel Tucker at Cleveland Heights High School back in the day, and I say, Mel, one day you're going to grow up, you're going to coach. You'll even be an assistant coach with the Cleveland Browns. Would that have been a dream come true?
Yeah, the Brownies, man, that's my team. And I spent many days down at the old Municipal Stadium. We didn't even catch the bus. My dad and myself, we catch the bus down there. And that wind would be coming off that lake. It would be about, you know, 15, 20 degrees below wind chill. And we never left the game early. And so I love my Brownies, and then having a chance to coach there for 4 years under Romeo Crennel was a dream come true for me.
When you were a kid, who was your favorite player?
Oh, I love Ozzie Newsome, the Wizard of Oz, and I've actually gotten to know him over the years, and when he was with the Ravens, and you know I was with the Browns, and then you know being down at Alabama, I ran into him quite a few times, and so. He's actually been somewhat of a mentor of mine. So, the Browns, they has a lot of great players back in the day with, you know, Brian Sipe and the Cardiac Kids, Dave Logan, who was a great player, who's a Colorado Buff, who does the games with the Broncos now and coaches high school ball here at Cherry Creek. I've got a chance to get to know him a lot better. So, yeah, a lot of fond memories going back to the Brownies.
Mel Tucker's our guest, Colorado's head football coach. You play a Friday night game. Those games are weird. And I look around and there have been some cases where teams just aren't quite themselves on a Friday night. How do you manage that as a head coach?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, you got to talk about it. It's a short week. You know, we have to understand it is what it is. And, you know, we've moved everything up a day. We have to kind of adjust our practice schedule. But at the end of the day, you have to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, we got to do a great job of preparation. You know, we have to stay focused, a lot of film study. The practices have to be sharp, up-tempo, efficient. And then got to get on the road and go take show on the road and go play.
You look at your time at Alabama, your time at Georgia and in the SEC, and you see Mario Cristobal across the way. On Friday night, you know, here's a guy. Obviously, you crossed over at Alabama, certainly with him. Is there a familiarity there that you know, or do you see what he's doing and trying to do? Does that make sense to you?
Oh yeah, I mean, really, what's familiar is that you know I've gotten to know Mario over the years, and we've become good friends. And he's a damn good football coach. He's very intense. He believes in playing a physical style of play. You know, he's great with the offensive line. He's an outstanding leader, and his guys always play hard for him. You can see that on the field right now.
If you had a cage fight with all the coaches, it's kind of a Mike Leach question, but Cristobal would be a tough out.
Well, if we're doing a tag team deal and it was a 2-on-2, Mario would be the first guy I'd grab.
Yeah, that I think would be tough is Kyle Whittingham at Utah. I think he'd be tough. Leach, I'm not afraid of Leach. Chip Kelly, not afraid of him. You know, who else in this conference? Who else raises fear? Nobody.
Well, I would agree with you with Utah, and so there's a couple guys. You know, if it hits the fan, you want to go. You're going to go grab and call a couple guys, and Mario's certainly one of them.
Mel Tucker with us. All right, before I cut you loose. You know, this is a conference that I think is in transition. You know, it has the reputation of being the offensive-minded Pac-12, but I'm watching Whittingham at Utah. I'm watching Cristobal at Oregon. I'm seeing you at Colorado. Some guys that are trying to play a little different style. Where's this going to end up?
I think it's going to end up right where we want it. We want to have a great conference. It's very competitive. It's you know, physical on the line of scrimmage, being able to run the ball on our terms, be able to make big plays on offense and score a lot of points, but be hard to score on defense. And those are the type of teams that go far in the playoffs.
What's your, in season you're focused on football, but you got to have a diversion. Is Mel Tucker have a Netflix show or a book or what does Mel Tucker do that's not football related?
I'm a little bit of a gadget guy. You know, I like to get the new iPhones. I like to maybe get the whatever the new wireless earbuds or any type of gadget, something I can get a hold of, and you know, go on YouTube and figure out how to work it.
You got the iPhone 11 Max Pro.
I do. It's got the three cameras on it. I was, yep. I got a little upset the other day. I was going to throw it up against the wall and say, you know what, I can't do that. I just got it.
And I hear that you can drop that in water, and it's like it's waterproof.
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I haven't tried it out yet, but at some point I'm sure that's going to come into play, and we'll see how it holds up.
All right, I'll check back with you. You and Alabama Adriana, who you talked to earlier, both have the new iPhone, so there you go.
We got something in common. That's a good starting spot.
All right, Mel, I appreciate you. I wish you the best on Friday night, and I'm glad you're in this conference.
Thanks for having me on. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet, Coach. Thank you. There's Mel Tucker, Colorado's coach. Gadget guy, see? That's why you come to the show. Find out Mel Tucker's a gadget guy. Now Adriana's on the phone down there, and they're talking about the iPhone 11 Max Pro. You and Mel Tucker both have the new phone.
I just have the regular 11, but yeah, it's super nice.
You got the extra camera.
Yeah, I have the two. They're pretty cool.
What do you need more than what? What's the extra camera for?
So the extra camera makes the regular zoom. You can zoom out at half of the, I don't know all the terms and stuff, but you can zoom out and you can get a wider lens.
Is it a 3D scope or anything like, do you know you could, it's like supposed to be waterproof to like 5 meters or something like
that? Yeah, it's up to a certain amount of time and it has to be a certain depth as well.
How did they figure that out? Somebody dropped their phone in the toilet, that's how.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. It's a fear, though. I've heard from people who have. You ever done that?
No, and I never will.
I have.
You've dropped it in the toilet.
Yeah.
You're on your phone in the toilet. There you go. You learn something every day on this show. Punch It Audio is coming up. We're going to go to Rome, Italy, and Kyle Whittingham, Utah coach, will be joining us as well. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. Leave it right here.
BFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Alabama Adriana is frantically working to confirm the Oregon Lottery's plans for their sports gaming. In the meantime, Punch It Audio. It's the best sound from all around. We do it every day on this radio show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Blazers preseason lid lifter last night, Memorial Coliseum. By the way, the guy that shot the three-quarter court shot did not make it, but it was a respectable effort. He was online. He left it short, probably about 5 or 8 feet. Online, though, respectable. And he got an autographed Blazers basketball out of the deal, in case you're wondering. But also last night, there was some play on the court. Kent Bazemore talked about the preseason, breaking a sweat. Here's one of the new guys. Punch it.
Feels great. You know, you go out there and, you know, try to work on everything that you worked on in camp for the past couple weeks. And, you know, you get to try it against someone else. And obviously, it's a team we saw a lot last year and a team we're going to see a lot this season. So we didn't really show them everything. But, you know, our basic principles, our foundation of who we are, what we're going to do, I think we had them full display tonight. And it's going to be a great season here in Rip City.
I'm curious to see what Bazemore ends up being. A lot of people in Atlanta underwhelmed by what he was for what they were paying. It was very similar, I think, to some of the criticisms that Blazer fans have had for sort of the Myers-Leonard, Evan Turner era Trailblazers. Bazemore gets a fresh start. Be curious to see how he fits, who he is. Can he shoot it better than he's historically shot it? A lot of questions there. Mike Malone, Nuggets coach, looked over at Terry Stotts mid-game and had a gem of a comment. Here's the Nuggets coach on the Blazers coach Punch it.
What do you think of your compatriots out there down the other side?
Well, I'm having a hard time focusing on the game because I keep on looking down and I'm seeing Terry Stotts' chest hair hanging out. And that's not a good look for anybody.
I thought you were going shoes, not chest hair. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Little Dr. Jack throwback stuff. I wondered last night, because it was supposed to be celebrating sort of the 50th season. I wondered if Terry Stotts had missed that Dr. Jack Ramsey wasn't the Blazers' first coach. Or was he just trying to play homage to Dr. Jack? I got no problem with it. I just wondered. I also had people ask me, hey, if you do the math, if their first season was 70-71, and this is 2019 season, isn't it 49 years? No. That's 50 years. It'll be 2019-2020 season. Nick Saban, Alabama coach, talking about Raekwon Davis getting better. Punch it.
He has been very good. He's worked hard. Certainly tried to set a good example for some of the young guys that are playing around him. I've been pleased with his effort, and you know, he was banged up. He had a little shoulder there. He didn't miss any time. I think that bothered him a little bit in the last game, maybe, but he should be healthy and ready to go. And I think he has played more consistently this year than a year ago.
Alabama has what you call first world problems in football. I keep looking at Alabama's schedule and I go, okay, at what point is it the Iron Bowl? Is it a potential conference championship game? At what point, and I know the rest of us are all rooting against Alabama like we root against the New England Patriots, but at what point do we find out how good this Alabama team is? Auburn fans doing some rubbernecking as well. Penn State football coach James Franklin defending one of his players. Jonathan Sutherland has dreadlocks. And Jonathan Sutherland got a letter from a Penn State alum who was critical of his appearance, said that his dreadlocks were disgusting. In the letter, written by a Pennsylvania resident named Dave Peterson, his hair, his appearance, and his demeanor were criticized. He wanted clean-cut young men. He wanted to get rid of the awful dreadlocks. Also made reference to tattoos and other things. It was racist. James Franklin, the Penn State coach, spoke to that. Punch it.
PSU football brings people together like very few things on this planet. This is my football. This is the game that I love, and most importantly, my players that I love and will defend like sons. Ultimately, this is the definition and embodiment of what we are is all about.
Jonathan Sutherland also on Twitter went to Twitter to just basically say the same thing. Look, a locker room in college football. Can you think of a more diverse, more inclusive place than a locker room in college football? Maybe an airport? But, you know, that's the only other comparison that I can draw. Because you've got people from various socioeconomic backgrounds, religions, races, regions of the country, some with come from single-parent households, some come from affluent two-parent households, some come from poverty and welfare. It's the most inclusive place in America. And this letter, which has gone viral, I don't know if you had a chance to read it, just disappointing to me on so many levels that, first of all, somebody feels that way. I don't like that you have dreadlocks. Second of all, that they don't see, like they have no self-awareness to know how that will be perceived. Like there was no, you know, there was no inhibition about sharing this letter and writing a letter to the kid basically saying, you don't look like a respectable person because you've got dreadlocks. Good on James Franklin for speaking out and speaking for a lot of coaches out there. Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, looking for common ground with China in the wake of Daryl Morey's tweets. The NBA and China have a problem. Here's the commissioner of the NBA. Punch it.
It's my hope that when I'm in Shanghai, I can meet with the appropriate officials and discuss where we stand. And again, put those remarks from Daryl Morey and my remarks in an appropriate context and see if we can find mutual respect
for each other's political systems and beliefs. But I'm a realist as well, and I recognize that this issue may not die down so quickly.
It's not going to die down quickly. The Chinese government has dug in on this to the point where Andrew Greif of the LA Times, who's a friend of this show, reported today that he walked into a store in China that had Houston Rockets gear and was told that by an employee, oh, wow, we need to get that off the shelves. That's not supposed to be out there. The government is under the retail stores are under an order from the government to get rid of the Rockets gear off the shelves. My other point is, you kind of signed on for this if you're the NBA. You're in another country that doesn't have customs, doesn't have a constitution, doesn't have the history of having a human rights record that is on par with our country's human rights record. You're dancing with the devil. Like, not literally, but you are. And so don't be surprised when this is the fallout from it. Here's more from Silver.
We are not apologizing for Daryl exercising his freedom of expression. I regret, again, having communicated directly with many friends in China, that so many people are upset, including millions and millions of our fans. I mean, at the end of the
day, we interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.